Okay, I'm going to go ahead and dive in. Awesome. So we're waiting on Kim and Jessica, who will be joining late, and I think a couple of others that said that they're on the road from on their way home from work, and then they're going to hop on. So we're going to hold space for them, but we are also just going to go ahead and dive in and get started. I am seeing familiar faces, and I'm also seeing phone numbers, so I don't know if you're a familiar face or not, because I can't see you. So I'm going to go ahead and kind of give the overview, the layout of the call for tonight, so that everybody knows what we're going to be covering, where we're headed, and then we're going to go ahead and do introductions, and then we'll dive in as per usual, for those of you who have been on the call, and hopefully, I'm hoping that these numbers that I'm seeing are a couple of our new members who wanted to make it. So we're going to do a lot of fun Q&A tonight around a really sensitive topic of money. So tonight's going to be a really sherry night. We're going to do a lot of vulnerability, hopefully vulnerability and sharing around money and finances and stuff like that and stories. So I'm excited. All right. So I'm going to go ahead and click the slate and we're going to begin. Overview of the call. We're going to start with introductions. So introduction round, let's keep it to a minute or two, your name, where you at in the world, and, now technology is working again, your name, where you're at in the world, and how you're feeling, and also something that's going well, or something that you're grateful for. So we'll do four little touch-ins on the introduction. And then we're going to shift gears and we're going to do a little tiny recap on manifestation and visualization that we talked about last time. So vision, visualization, and the power of the subconscious mind. We dove into that on the last call and in that workbook that I had sent out, and I sent out a few different resources for that too in terms of like books and videos. So hopefully, those of you who are kind of at that part in your progression, hopefully you've had some time to check that out. And I'm all ears. So if you have any questions or if you have any shares around visualization or the subconscious mind, I'm all ears. We'd love to chat about it for a little bit. And then we're going to segue into kind of general Q&A or general shares. And we'll do that for maybe five or 10 minutes or so. So anything based on anything that we've covered so far, right? So any of the modules, any of the one-on-one coaching for those of you who are one-on-one clients of mine. And then also for those of you who are new, feel free to, you know, you're going to introduce yourself at the beginning, but then during the Q&A, feel free to, you know, just share with us like why you're here, what you're curious about, maybe what some of your intentions are with coaching or in your life. So we want to get to know you. So feel free to use the Q&A time for that. And I'll kind of prompt you when we get to that point too. And then right around the hour or a little bit before, we'll go ahead and dive into money story. So this is a stretchy topic, stretchy meaning this is right at the edge of our comfort zone. The theme of money isn't necessarily something that we are taught that we can talk about. It's kind of like a hush-hush thing. Like, you know, there's this saying, like, don't talk about money, politics, or religion at the dinner table, right? So it's a tricky thing to talk about. It can be kind of stretchy. It's a very private matter. It's really vulnerable. And what we're wanting to do, or what I'm wanting to invite us all into on this call tonight, is a space where we can talk about it and talk about it in a real way and talk about it in a safe way and share our thoughts around it. And also I'm going to be teaching you or sharing some things with you ladies that hopefully will be helpful in facilitating you being on the path that you want to be on with your relationship with money. Okay. So there's no right or wrong path. Like there's no like everybody should be a billionaire or everybody should be, you know, have 16 lake houses or anything like that. Everybody's different and everybody has their own definition of what financial thriving is for them. So that's something we're going to be talking about and sharing as well. So the point here is to empower you all to be conscious of your relationship with money and creative with your relationship with money and to be able to create whatever it is that you want in terms of that. So that will be the crux of the call. And then we'll do takeaways and we'll wrap out. So let's go ahead and get started. But before I do, does anybody have any questions before we hop into introductions? Can either unmute yourself or raise your hand. Okay. All right. So again, introductions, name, where you at in the world, what's good or what are you grateful for? And then how are you feeling? So kind of a, you know, body scan emotionally. Maybe you just got home from work, you're exhausted. Maybe you're nervous. This is your first call, so you're like feeling a little tense. And I just want to reiterate that the reason that I invite us to do a feeling share as we introduce ourselves is so that we can tune into each other, since we're not physically in the same room. Like, it's can't really tell how everyone's doing, you know, like energetically or emotionally or in terms of their feeling state. So being able to share that and just say, yeah, I'm a little nervous right now, helps us all to, like, you know, empathically hold that space and understand that. So, all right, I'll start the introduction round. I am Fawn, and I'm so always excited to be here and grateful to be here. I am currently, this is my last day in Sandpoint, Idaho, in my hometown, and I've been here for 3 months almost, visiting family, hanging out with my community, and loving it. And now it's getting cold, and I'm leaving to go to the tropics. So, still here at home, but heading out in the morning to go to LA for 5 days, Nevada, and then Mexico in a couple weeks. So looking forward to travel. I've definitely have the itch. So what's good? Lots of things. I would say right now, my travels, I'm really looking forward to tonight, like packing up and cleaning and then like hopping on a plane tomorrow to go see some great friends down in Los Angeles and start my adventures again. So that's good. And I'm feeling, I'm feeling really energized right now, which I tend to at the beginning of these calls because I feel like I have so much I want to talk about. But I'm feeling also pretty calm and excited to connect with all of you tonight and talk about money. All right. So let's go ahead. And Ren, would you be willing to introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm awesome. Ren. I'm in the Rockford, Illinois area. What's good? Gratitudes. Things are good. I'm grateful. I finally got to the doctor last week for the EMG and stuff for my hands.
Yay.
And I do have an appointment Friday, but I think I'm going to push it to next Wednesday just for scheduling issues. But I do have a follow-up scheduled, so I'll be talking to my doctor soon.
Yay.
I'm grateful for that. And overall, how am I feeling? I'm tired, exhausted a little bit, and I'm still nervous about the whole house thing because it's not all wrapped up yet. But otherwise, not bad.
So a few different energies going on.
Yeah, a little bit of everything today.
yeah. Thanks for sharing that. And I'm so thrilled to hear that you are, that you visited your doctor and you'll be visiting a different doctor. I'm just really grateful that you are able to attend to your health. I know that's something that's been really important to you. So yay. Awesome. Layla, would you be willing to introduce yourself?
Yay.
And I can see you and you're streaming fine. This is great. Yay, technology.
Okay. Hi, I'm Layla. I'm in Phuket, Thailand right now. And one thing I'm grateful for is I started working about 2 weeks now at a new position. And I've just been getting used to transitioning and some of the growing pains of a new job. And but I'm also feeling grateful to have this new job. And yesterday was kind of like one of the first days where I felt like I prepared for it well, and everything was, you know, very smooth, and I wasn't, I wasn't trying too hard. It was a little bit more of a nice flow. And on top of that too, I'm getting used to the routine, the new routine. So, my scheduling, my days have been a little bit more organized, so that's good too. And awesome. I've been spending less time, like, I guess, studying my job, which is nice. You know, I think the first couple weeks I was spending the entire day just studying it so I can get to know it well and what I need to do. So I'm starting to get more comfortable. So there's less prep time and more time for other things. So I'm grateful for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome. Well, congrats. That's so exciting. Big huge applause. That's so wonderful. And that feeling that you're describing of having like a smooth day where you felt prepared and you felt like, you know, I guess more competent might be the feeling. I like empathize with you. That's always a nice like, okay, I'm getting the hang of it.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. It's so uncomfortable in the beginning, but it's good comfort. It's good to be uncomfortable too, because you're growing. Yes.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. Yes, that's our motto in here in this tribe, right? Get uncomfortable and grow. Awesome. Thanks, Layla. Okay, Jessica, would you be willing to introduce yourself? Oh, I think Jessica's driving. Okay, that's right. She sent me an email and told me she's commuting at the moment. Okay, Jessica's here. Yay! She's in Chicago, I believe, at the moment, and she's commuting home from work. And she'll be joining us when she lands at her house. All right. And then I'm seeing, yay, Paige is here. Awesome. So, Paige, would you be willing to introduce yourself? You don't have to, no obligation, but if you are willing. Or you might be driving to okay. Hi, yay, awesome. Hi.
So this is my first meeting. I just started today. It was yay. Fun.
Yay, welcome, Paige. So stoked.
So I guess awesome. I'm feeling a little bit, I don't know, I guess I've been kind of emotional. It's been a bit of an emotional day. I feel a little bit raw. But it's good. Mm-hmm. I mean, talk about getting uncomfortable. It's probably the perfect way to feel uncomfortable is when you start letting your emotions out. But overall, I guess I'm just excited to start my journey, and I'm just feeling a little bit nervous right now because this is my first time.
Yeah.
And you can't see me, but I still have sweaty palms and everything, so.
Awesome. Well, welcome, Paige. We're so happy to have you in the tribe. We're super, super excited. Ladies, Paige and I just had a conversation a few hours ago, and definitely a hell yes. And you ladies know what that means. So we've got a new badass tribe member, and I'm very grateful for that. And it's totally understandable, Paige, that you're feeling nervous and feeling a little shaky and a little bit sweaty. Like, that is the indication that you're stretching out of your comfort zone, or like you're kind of at the edges of your comfort zone. And as you know, as I mentioned before, but I hope all these ladies can attest that like, this is the good kind of stretch. This is the kind of stretch that's like, ooh, here we go. But it's like, this is how we grow. This is exactly how we become the people we want to be and take the risks that we want to be taking. So I'm so proud of you and so excited to have you with us. Awesome. All right. So let's go to, I'm seeing 1718, I think is the area code. I can't see, but I can hear you. Or no, I mean, I can't see you or hear you. I don't know what I'm talking about. Layla, would you be willing to mute yourself? I think I'm hearing some feedback. Thank you, darling. Okay, 718, you are here. I can see that you are here, but I cannot see, hear you or see you. So I'm just going to go ahead and move on to Kim. Welcome. Would you be willing to introduce yourself? Hi, Kim.
Hello.
Hi.
Can you hear me? Because I
yes.
Okay. I was hoping I wasn't breaking up. Hello, I'm Kim from Ohio.
Yeah.
What else do I have to say?
You joined a moment late. Thanks. Name, location, and what's good, or what are you grateful for, and then how are you feeling?
What's good? Let's see. I think life in general is great.
Awesome.
I am grateful for my kid, my kids, my friends, my family.
Mm.
Yep. And my job, even though I am tired. But I am grateful for starting our mentor thing.
Yay! So lady, do you want to announce it or do you want me to announce it, Kim? I don't know if you heard. Kim's breaking up. Okay, so I'll announce it. Okay, there you are. Awesome. So Kim, when she first reached out to me in March or April, long story short, she was like, I want to become a life coach. I want to know what this whole thing is about. I'm probably going to do this certification training down the road. So we started working together. We worked together for 6 months, and she had an amazing, well, I feel, Kim, you should share this part. She was just so, had such an amazing experience working with me and our coaching relationship that she is now I'm going to be her mentor and train her to be a coach and teach her everything that I know. So she's chosen to seek me as her guide through that. And I'm so blessed and so honored to take him under my wing and, you know, to be chosen over a top coaching school as her training advisor is absolutely amazing. And I can't wait to just give it up and give it my all and, you know, empower Kim to be an amazing coach and make a positive impact in the world. So exciting. Yay. Awesome. Thanks for your support, ladies. I know. Isn't that exciting? So great. Yeah. Kim, is there any, yeah, keep going. I just kind of jumped in there because you broke up for a moment.
Oh, okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes. Yeah. Thanks.
Okay. I had been wanting to do this for a while. And actually the reason why I got, somebody recommended me to get a coach if I was going to be a coach. And I've done something like it, similar for a nonprofit that I have, but I felt like I needed to know more. But there were certain things that was going on with me personally that was holding me back. And I told Fawn the other day, I sincerely became the client. I wasn't really looking at it like, oh, okay, let me see what she does. I really needed to be a client. So can you hear me? Because it's breaking up a little. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Can you still hear me? Okay. Mm-hmm. And so when our time together was coming to a close, I knew that I was going to start school either in next year, so I need to get some things done, so I'm gonna wait till January. But we're talking and I was like, you know, I have some degrees, I don't want to just sit in school just to sit. So I talked to Fawn and I was like, oh, it would be great if we could still work together. So I got all excited. She already knew what I needed and what I was like, oh, this is gonna be perfect. So
yeah, so exciting. This will be the third, you will be the third victim of mine. Oh, just kidding. My third mentee. And I'm always so honored and blessed to pass everything down that I know. So yeah, ladies, we'll have another a wonderful coach in the world to make a positive impact. So exciting. All right, thanks for sharing, Kim. And then if Jessica or the area code 718 want to hop in and introduce yourselves, you're welcome to. Otherwise, I'm going to go ahead and get this show on the road. And we may have, you might be driving or doing other things. Okay, ladies, I am just going to be honest here. Because I had to switch from my computer to my phone, for some reason my computer camera wasn't working. My phone is about to run out of battery. So I'm just going to take a moment here to go run and grab my charger. My apologies, since usually the technology is on my side, but tonight it's being kind of tricky. So I'll be back in just a moment. Thank you. Okay. anytime I have a technological issue, which sometimes does happen when I'm traveling, admittedly, I remember Douglas Adams, the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, and that, like, on the cover, it's like, don't panic. And that's his mantra, is don't panic. And I'm always like, yeah, okay, right. It's okay. It's just technology. So I am totally just going to try to rig my phone to stand up right now. You leaders are amazing for being patient. Talk about the vulnerability train. Here we are. Okay. Let's see here. The irony is that I just bought a really nice tripod off of Amazon and it was delivered right before the call, but it's not assembled. So there we go. A little crooked. We'll make it work. Okay. Thanks, ladies. All right. So let's jump into the meat of this. Hopefully I can get my phone to cooperate. So let's do a little recap, a little check-in around visualization. Last call and the last worksheet I sent out was vision visualization and the power of the subconscious mind. Dun, dun, dun. And we talked a lot about how our entire reality starts from our thoughts and what we're thinking and the paradigms and the worldviews and the mindsets and the belief systems that we have going on in here are what create everything in our reality, ultimately. So for those of you who were not on the last call, totally okay. The call recording is up. And or if you're like not at that part of your journey yet, don't worry about it. We're going to get there in due time. So just for those of you who have any questions about visualization or questions about the subconscious mind, or maybe a share around like, hey, I've been visualizing and like, whoa, or I've been visualizing and nothing's happening, right? So any shares are welcome around visualization. So raise your hand if you have a question or a share, and we'll just do like a, we'll just popcorn style it. Kim always scratches her head right when I ask if anybody wants to raise their hand. There you are. Yes, Kim, go ahead, darling. I'm like, go ahead, Kim.
Freak out, like,
and I call you out every time.
Right. I am doing a lot of it. Reading mine when I wake up and before I go to bed, and making adjustments or adding on to it.
Awesome.
I think for what I want to do, it's taking the pressure off of me making it happen and just letting it happen. On our last conversation, when Ren talked about her situation and her relationship, I'm still like, okay, I got to remember opportunity to be right there. But I know that I get so engrossed in my day and it seems to fly by. Sometimes I wonder, am I paying attention to opportunities? Mm. But then there are certain things that happen that kind of open a door. Like, you know, our conversation opened that door. Mm. The expo that I worked at, and I met that one lady who, right, I got on the her website, then found another lady who offers a dance class that's close to here. So like it's starting to open up where I'm seeing other things and it's like, oh, this is what it's like.
Yes.
Because I'm very used to making things happen. And so I think, like you said, like in the back of like in your subconscious, that is really there. You know, you don't have to work it out. It kind of is there. So yeah, it's cool.
Yes. Yes. Thank you so much for speaking to that. And I love that, Ren, you were an inspiration to Kim's awareness practice this week. That's awesome. Yeah, Kim, what you're speaking to right now, like paying attention and being like awake to opportunity. And it sounds like you've already started to have a couple of experience around that where you're like, oh, and you just kind of like keep following the awareness rabbit hole of like, oh, tuning in.
Right.
Awesome.
It really happened.
Yes, exactly. And this is, you know, again, I think I mentioned this on the last call, but like nobody really knows how this stuff works. If someone says, like, I know how manifestation in the subconscious mind works, like the mechanics, I would like to give them a test. But the fact of the matter is, like, it doesn't matter, like, why it works. The thing is that it works. And I love that you're sharing right now, Kim, that you're like, oh, okay, this is how it goes, right? And that's just really great positive evidence that when you start to practice it, when you start to visualize and you start to pay attention and you start to orient your subconscious mind and your attention, like, toward what it is that you do want, you start noticing new things. You start having new, like, creative light bulbs. You start meeting new people and, like, saying yes to things you would have said no to or whatever. So, yes, I love that. Thank you, Kim. Great share. Anybody else have a share with visualization, vision, or a question about it? Okay. One thing that I will underscore/emphasize that I was talking to another one of our sisters a couple days ago, Aliana, and we were talking about visualization. She was asking me some great questions, like, about the subconscious mind, just like, how does it work? She's really, really new to this stuff, right? Which I love. And I love, like, teaching it, sharing about it. But when we were talking about the feeling piece, and I think this resonated with Jessica too, I hope I'm remembering this correctly, but, like, there's visualization, there's, like, imagining it in our minds and, like, writing it down, rehearsing it, reciting it, you know, the I am, doing it in the positive. But then there's the feeling, and the feeling is what gets in there to the subconscious and helps it to lodge in and helps it to, like, actually start to rewire those neurotransmitters. So reciting something over and over, like rote memory, like practicing a piano or something, it works. But adding feeling to it helps us to memorize the feeling that we're desiring, having the feeling that we're wanting to have. And it helps to make those neural pathways strengthen a lot faster when we add the feeling part of it. So I just wanted to emphasize that as well. Okay. Any other shares around visualization, vision, subconscious mind? Okay. All right. I had an experience in the last couple of weeks. It must have been 3 weeks ago. It was right around the time that I made the decision to go back to Mexico. And so that, of course, carried with it a lot of other decisions, like, you know, where I'm going to travel, when I'm going to travel, et cetera, et cetera. So once I made the decision, I sat down and I, like, reworked my visualizations for the next 3 months. And I wrote some specific goals, some specific things that I'm bringing into my life in the next 3 months. And they're very stretchy. And that's the thing about visualization too, is, like, once you get into the pattern, like, once you get it, you can start to really push it and play with it and, like, bring really awesome, crazy stuff into your life. So one of the visualizations that I wrote, and I'm not going to be specific because it's kind of I think that it wouldn't be appropriate, but one of the things that I had written out was, like, you know, the old me would have been like, yeah, right. Like, this is sure fun. You know, like, you think that's going to happen, but I wrote it out anyway. And I rehearse it every single morning. And as of last Thursday, it was, like, already happening, like, in motion, like, happening. This is like real. And I was just like, whoop, yep, see, here it is. Like, it's working. And it kind of surprised me. I surprised myself. I was like, bam, that was fast. So the more you do it and the more you exercise this muscle, the more you're going to be able to bring things into your life that you want and, like, change yourself in the ways that you want to change. So, okay. Any questions or shares around any of that before we shift? Okay. So let's go ahead and open the floor to general shares. General meaning anything pertaining to the modules or to the coaching so far. Any celebrations, any, like, hey, I'm stuck, or ladies, you know, can I get your opinions here? So this is the time to kind of, like, ask the tribe for any support, advice, etc. Or share some good things that are happening. Okay.
I could share something good, I guess.
Awesome. Yeah, Paige.
I'm actually buying my first house this week.
Oh, yeah. So I'm yay!
Excited about that. And it's something that I honestly didn't ever foresee for myself, but mm-hmm. somehow I managed to make it happen.
Awesome.
And I don't know exactly through visualization, but I honestly feel like I'm kind of more of the, I guess, fly by to the seat of your pants kind of person. And I'm not very good at like super planning. So I guess, I don't know. I tend to visualize, but I think it's more on accident or as, you know, as daydreaming or something.
Yeah. Awesome. Like awesome. I love that. Daydreaming totally counts. I mean, that is kind of what visualization is, to be honest. It's like picturing what we want. And then taking it to the next steps of like memorizing that and like rehearsing it a lot. But Paige, that's awesome. Good for you. I mean, buying your first house, it's a really big step. That's awesome. Congrats excited. On that. Yay.
Wanted a home base, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. That's wonderful. Good for you. So let's reverse engineer that just for a moment here. So you had mentioned like you're more of a kind of fly by the seat of your pants kind of person, not so much like planning. Tell me a little bit more about like what led to this happening in terms of like your emotions. Like, did you really like, was there a lot of desire? Was there like, what led you to purchasing a house? Like, does that make sense?
I guess it's kind of a creature of comfort and stability and security. Like I've always been a renter, and I always kind of knew that I like, I want a place to live and I need to several cats. So I have some cats.
But you're breaking up a little bit on my end. Of
just wanting security and the comfort of a home.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I think you broke up a little bit, but what I think I heard you say, and I might be making this up because I love cats, but did you say that you have a lot of cats?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm a cat mom. I'm just a creature of comfort, really. So I guess I always kind of do like, I just like the idea of a home base and a place to live and a place to kind of come back to and do things from.
Awesome. Yeah, good for you. So there was a desire for that comfort, for that home base, for that safety, for that, I'm guessing, like stability.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's funny because I've kind of been on and off with like the idea of visualization. And at one point I actually created like a little book where I would cut out things from magazines and just try to like kind of imagine like what kind of house I would want or what I would put in it or how it would look.
Awesome.
And I don't know. I guess I visualized a little bit about it.
Yeah, sounds like it.
It's been a while since I put any effort into that, but I, you know, it was something I did do a couple years ago that I should probably look at now and compare the house to it.
Please do and let us know how that goes. That's awesome. Yeah, so it does sound like you've been doing some visualizing insofar as, I mean, that's actually another level of visualization, and it's going to be part of the vision visualization and subconscious mind module. Is I'm going to be including vision boards and like why vision boards are so important. And they're not just this like, you know, oh, let's make vision boards and like pretend. They're actually pretty amazing because our visual system, you know, all of our senses get to come together. And when we see what we want, when we visually connect with it, and then we bring in that feeling piece and we're like, yes, this is happening for me right now. And we bring in all of our visualization tools and there's a visual component, literally, it helps the subconscious come online even more. So it sounds like what you did with that little book, which is such a cool idea, a little dream vision book. It here you are about to move into your new house.
I was going to say, I think at this point, I just have a need for clarity in like other points in my life, because that was something that I just knew, I guess instinctually I wanted, which is obviously, you know, why I'm here. There is some clarity that I do lack in my life.
Yeah, but you clarified that you wanted your own home, and that's beautiful. Congrats. That's really, really awesome. Yay. All right. So let's shift gears, ladies. let's talk about money. Unless anybody else has a quick share, a quick question. I want to make sure I'm not leaving anybody off the train here. Okay. All right. So we're going to dive into money story, and I'm going to be asking quite a few questions. More like exploration prompts for all of us to share about. And I just want to reiterate something I haven't said in several calls, because it's just, hopefully everybody knows that this is built into the tribe now on the calls, but I want to say it for this call because this is such a stretchy topic, which is that everything that we share on this call tonight, everything that we share in any call, but especially, you know, tonight, given the topic of finances, like, you're in a safe space. We're all in this together. Those of us who have been in this tribe together for a while, like, let's hold the space for the newcomers, and like, just everybody hold space for everybody else, because this can get really like emotional. This can get emotional in any direction. So I just want everyone to know that we're non-judgmental. We're here to embrace each other. We're here to support each other. We're here to hear whatever comes up and comes out. Of course, I'm here to facilitate, but I just really want you all to know that we've been pretty much taught our entire lives to not talk about this, and that it's not okay, and it's rude, and that there's a lot of shame around it, and you know, it triggers and tags a lot of stuff. And so, to whatever extent you feel comfortable, you are welcome to share. You're welcome to share anything around the questions that I have here. But you also are not obligated. Like, you don't have to speak up at all. You can totally just sit in, and that's totally fine. So, what I do want to really, really set in stone here is the safety component and the confidentiality component and the non-judgmental component, because we're all on a journey. Everyone's on a different journey that's unique to each of us. And, there's no right or wrong here. You know, what's important is that we're all here and we're all working on ourselves. So, makes sense. Everybody, head nods. Okay. Awesome. Thank you. All right. So, little tiny bit of backstory here, personal backstory, just to kind of open up the vulnerability treasure chest right away. So historically in my life until my mid 20s, like, I had no idea. Like, I was completely clueless. Relatively, I probably still am, but way farther down the line than I used to be. But anyways, I was relatively clueless about like how it works. Like, I wasn't given tools. I wasn't really given a lot of mentorship, like positive or healthy mentorship, or like, I didn't have a lot of positive role models in my life, growing up around healthy money practices or like financial, like health, right? Like, I relationship with money. It was pretty much a smattering of like all sorts of different messages, like from the media, from my parents, from and individually my parents having different stories, and then my friends and their parents, and like just kind of a hot mess of like the way that I was conditioned growing up. And I didn't even know I didn't even think about that until in my mid 20s when I hired my first life coach, and I was like, why is this such a struggle for me? Like, I know that I'm here to make a big impact. I know, like, I've got talent coming out of my ears, you know, like, and I don't know why I'm always broke. Like, why am I always broke? So frustrating, right? And this is when Fawn was in like super confusion mode. And one of the first things, and my coach at the time, she was a celebrity life coach in Hollywood. She's coaching, like, she's an ex-wife of a very, very famous rock star, coaches all these, like, you know, singer-songwriters. And I worked with her for 2 years, 1 year of coaching, 1 year of mentorship. And anyway, one of the first conversations that we had was this, like, I'm always broke. I hate this, right? And she looks at me with her very like wise, lived so much life expression. And she goes, okay, let's talk about your money story. And I'm like, what? Like, what do you mean money story? And so that was the first time that I'd even heard the term. Like, I didn't know what it meant. And so I'm saying this because if any of you are like, yeah, I don't know what money story means or why it's important, or this is brand new, like, totally okay, right? This is totally fine. I get it. I was there too. And so what I'm about to share with you in brief, and then a lot more in the module that's currently being built, is what money story is, why it's so important, and how everything, believe it or not, for the most part, everything in your financial world comes from in here, just like everything else we've been talking about, our belief systems, our thoughts, our stories. And so she sits me down, or I'm sitting across from her, and she's like, let's talk about your money story. I'm like, what? And she starts to pull these things out of me, these like beliefs that I didn't even know that I had. And one of the beliefs that she pulled, well, that I was in me, that kind of blurted out during one of our sessions. I think I had like gone home and like done a bunch of journaling, or she gave me a worksheet or something, and I came back. And one of them really stood out to me. And that was, the more I have, the less others have. That was in there. That was like planted inside of me. And when I realized that that was in me and I brought that to her, and she's like, so if that's a belief that you have, how could you ever feel deserving of having wealth or having abundance? If you feel like the more you have, the less others have, you know, because your value is to help others. So that would be in complete contradiction to what you want and what you value in your life. And I was like, oh, like, duh, light bulb moment. So what we're going to do here, ladies, is we're going to unpack, kind of round robin popcorn style, some of the beliefs that you may have been told or conditioned to believe or chosen that might be in contradiction to what you are wanting in your financial life or in your thrive mode, or in your relationship with money, right? So we'll get to that in just a minute. So this whole theme here around money story and relationship with money is kind of like what we did with like our relationship with ourselves, where we unpacked everything and we're like, who are the gremlins? Who are the allies? Like, what's going on in my belief system? So that's what we're going to do here around money, because as you are realizing now, hopefully through the self-awareness of choosing your beliefs and choosing your thoughts consciously, that's what we're doing here with our money story. We want to choose money stories. We want to choose financial beliefs. We want to be in relationship with money, this thing called money, in a way that works for us, that allows for us to serve the world, that allows for us to live any kind of life that we want, in a high vibration, right? And in alignment with our values. And that's really important as well. So let's go ahead and just round robin share some of the limiting beliefs or some of the belief systems that we were taught, or told, or might be still like lugging around from any era of our life. I'll throw some examples out there, and then I'll just go ahead and we'll do a show of hands, and you are welcome to share any that come up for you. So, personally, some of the beliefs that were in there were, the more I have, the less others have. Rich people are greedy and evil. You have to work really hard and kind of almost be like crooked to be super wealthy. there's never enough money, and money is pretty much like evil. Like, I had this like really icky, like, the system is flawed, you know, like money's evil. So those were some of the ones that I had. And so when I spilled those out to my coach, she's like, so why do you think you're broke? It's like, okay, point taken. So would anybody else like to share some of the belief systems or stories that they have or had about money? And again, no judgment here at all. Like, we've all got them. We grew up in America. We grew up in the Western world. We've got money stories. So if anyone be willing to share, go ahead and raise your hand. And again, no expectation, but floor. Paige, oh, I can see you. Hi, awesome. Sweet. You're muted, darling. Go ahead and unmute yourself.
Sorry.
Great. Yeah. Thank you.
There we go.
Perfect.
I don't know. I feel like I share a lot of similar beliefs that you stated. I guess I always thought that people that were rich were greedy, that, I don't know, that they were kind of snobby, or they thought they were better than other people because they had money.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It was a lot of similar to what you said, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah. Yeah. And so this is, yeah, what you're doing right now is like accessing like, oh yeah, like those beliefs are there. And in the worksheet that I sent out and, in this process, what's really fascinating is to like ask ourselves, where did this come from? Like, when did this belief first take root? Like, there, for me, there are some memories I have of like directly being told these messages from people, like, you know, rich people are greedy. I remember somebody saying that to me. Or yeah. So looking at like where these beliefs came from. And then we realize like, just like every other belief system in our lives, ladies, we realize like, holy crap, I didn't actually choose this. This was like slapped on top of me, or this was like layered on top of me in the culture scape or in the family system or whatever, right? Like this was somebody, I learned this somewhere, right? Sometimes it's through direct experience. Sometimes we meet wealthy people like, God, oh man, I went to some parties in Beverly Hills and I was like, y'all are mean. But that's not universally true. So direct experience, yes, like some wealthy people, some whatever, are like not the kindest, but to universally hold a belief that like all rich people are bad or greedy or mean, that's, you know, that's black and white thinking. So what we want to do here is like just unpack in your own time, like unpack, like what are my beliefs around money and like where did they come from, and get in touch with that, because it helps our system to know like, oh yeah, like just like everything else, we're sponges and we sponged this in, which then means that we can change it, right? Like this isn't the universal truth of the universe. Is this making sense? Okay. So a lot of the conditioning that came down to, or does anybody else want to share, be willing to share limiting beliefs? Ren, awesome. Yeah, let's hear it. And Layla, yay. Let's get these gremlins out.
I've got more than I probably need to share, but I'll give you a
few of them. Okay, auction them off. Let's hear it.
See, my grandmother and my great-grandmother both had the money is the root of all evil issue. And having too much money is bad. Believing that poverty, or just not having a lot of money, was more godlike, more honorable, or whatever. Mm-hmm. See, I still have my worksheet from earlier.
Yay! Good job.
See, I watched my own mom struggle for years, decades, and she's still struggling, trying to work hard to earn hardly anything. Work twice as hard and just earn barely enough, that money doesn't come easily. But then like from my dad's side and my other grandmother's side, you know, you work hard, you work smart, and you will earn a good living. Money is fluid. It's easy coming to go. Too much and you'll just waste it, you know, stuff like that. So mm-hmm. Still working on all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks for sharing that. Absolutely. Yeah, so who can relate? Show of hands, like any of the messages that Ren just shared. Yeah, right? Like there's some universally, hi Jessica, there's some universally messaged beliefs or stories that I think a lot of us hear, like some of the ones you were just sharing. Who else would like to share some of the limiting beliefs and where they may have came from? Layla, awesome. Thank you.
Okay, so I have a few. One was I used to work at this organic grocery store in like a rich neighborhood, and I met a lot of people who were born into wealthy families. Mm-hmm. And don't get me wrong, there was plenty of them that I felt like worked hard on their own and, you know, built their own success. But I met a lot of people who were very disrespectful and entitled, and in my mind at the time, and I don't know if it's true or not, but I felt that the reason why they were entitled is because they were given so much, at a young age, born into it. And, you know, never, and with that, they treated people like shit. Excuse my language, but treated people
speak poorly. Freely.
and talked down to people that didn't have very much money. I saw a lot of that. So I think that I felt that people who were kind of, not everyone, I was very aware it wasn't everyone, but I was kind of a little grossed out by it. And sometimes I would assume sometimes when I see someone that was born into it, I would try to catch that too, because I know people and I've seen people who were very humble and worked very hard when their parents gave to them and gave them a good life. So it was just conflicting a lot. I had to go back and forth with it. Another thing was I felt that some people who had an exceptional amount of money, there were people that existed that took advantage of poor people. The biggest thing as well was the biggest thing that I associate money with is relationships. I've seen my parents fight over money, almost divorce over it. I've seen other people work multiple jobs. Like Ren was saying, work twice as hard. And in one particular case, they still have a hard time keeping the lights on and taking care of a few kids. So, a lot of fights in a relationship. And last is what I'm just trying to transition into believing is that, for me, money means when hard work and finding your North Star, are combined. It's meaning that like you North Stars and like finding what means a lot to you, which for some people it's helping others. And so combining that with your work and just doing what you can to build from that means money, which is what I'm trying to transition my mind into thinking.
Yeah. Thank you so much. That was beautifully stated, all of that. I appreciate how you're highlighting, I mean, in your honesty and vulnerability and saying like, yeah, I was around people who represented wealth in a way that was not very harmonious or respectful or nice. And you had that exposure, you interacted with those people. But then also realizing like, that's not a universal truth. You know, you knew that everybody wasn't like that, but you know, it does. I wrote a quote down actually. This is perfect timing for this. So this is from Jen Sincero's book. If I can find it real quick. Just a moment. Okay. So in Jen Sincero's book, The You Are a Badass at Making Money, which is required reading for this module, she talks about what is money, right? And in all the books in this module, The Science of Getting Rich, You Are a Badass at Making Money, and The Soul of Money, there's a lot of talk about what is money, right? And Jen, I like what Jen says here. She's like, it's a unit of measure in the act of giving and receiving. It's neither good nor bad. It's blank. It's just the messenger. It's what you do with it and how you think of it and how you speak and feel that gives it personality, right? Mm-hmm. So what you just shared, Layla, about, you know, people who inherit their wealth or carry themselves in a certain kind of way because they inherit their wealth, it's kind of a tricky thing to tease apart, but my understanding, and I think my belief at this point, is that it's not the money that creates that kind of person. Like there are other factors and environmental like messaging and belief systems and money stories that go into like shaping those people in that way. But I appreciate that you bring that to the table, because there, you know, in certain ways in the world, there are generalizations and there are stereotypes that kind of fit. but it's not like money isn't the thing that corrupts necessarily. It's like what people, the meaning people make around it, right? The story that they create around it. So, but yeah, thanks for speaking to that. And also I think in a couple of you have spoken to this like conflicted messaging, right? This came up earlier in a conversation around like parental messaging when it comes to career, like do what you love, follow your passion, or like get a job that pays really well, become a lawyer, become a doctor, right? Like conflicting messaging in that way. So like not only the messaging of what money is that can be conflicting from all these different directions, but also when it comes to what to do with our lives or what our purpose is, it can be like this inner cognitive dissonance of like, well, do I do what makes me happy or do I do what makes me rich? Like shit, you know, like feeling like we have to choose between them. That conflict is, it's real. It happens for a lot of us. And hopefully with the rewriting of our money story here in the next few weeks, we will arrive at a place within ourselves where we're like in unity with our belief systems and our values and our definitions of money and wealth for ourselves. So anybody else be willing to share their money story? Yeah, Paige, thank you.
Sorry.
No, sorry.
Disclosure. I didn't have time to do the handout that you gave, but
of course it's okay.
Layla's example just made me realize something very personal that I didn't realize, I guess, contributed to my money beliefs. And I guess growing up, my grandfather was very distant. He was never really around. I've only heard stories from my father about how just ungodly abusive this man was. And whenever he would visit, he was not very kind. He was not very personable. He would pick my little brother apart for being overweight. And the only other thing I really knew about him was that he was rich. And I've watched my dad struggle with two jobs and raising three kids on his own. And, you know, he was just never there. And I never understood why. And I guess it just gave me this opinion that, I don't know, people like him were just very cruel and just uncaring and unkind and not very generous. And that was, I guess, my only experience with people on that level other than working in corporate America, which you see enough of those types in their offices wearing their three-piece suits and treating you like you're nothing because you're in a copy room or you're a receptionist.
Right.
Yeah. You're doing their mail. Or, you know, when I worked as a part-time job as a janitor, that was fun.
Yeah. Paige, thank you so much for sharing that. That's like,
sorry, I'm a super emotional person. I'll probably.
It's welcome here. It's welcome. It's received. It's encouraged. That's what this tribe is for. Like, that's what we are here for, is being like having a place where we can fucking be real and like let it out and hold space. We're all human. We are all going through it, like, you know, in our own way. And I want you to know that you're received. Like, you, it is totally welcome and totally received. And who can relate in some way with what Paige is sharing here? Like having somebody or some example, whether it's in the media or whether it's in their families, of like wealthy people being not upstanding citizens. Right?
I guess maybe I just thought, like, since he wasn't generous with me, that, I don't know, maybe he hated us, or there's something wrong with us, or we didn't deserve it. I don't know. It's like, I wonder what other things are there because of how he was or the kind of person.
Totally, Paige. Yes, thank you so much for sharing that. And this is the stretchy beauty, the challenging beauty of looking under the hood of our belief systems, looking under the hood of like, huh, like why am I getting the results that I have, whether it's with money, fitness, whatever, like what are the beliefs? Because you go results, actions come from beliefs, right? And so tracing it back to those beliefs and shit. Yeah. Like if we have someone in our life who is representing wealth in a toxic way or even an abusive way, or if that's what we see, if that's our exposure, just like anything else, right? We're going to be like gun shy. We're going to be like, screw that. I don't want to be like that. It looks like Paige lost connection. So yeah. And it's really important for all of us ladies, as I've mentioned a couple times on this call, like it's really important to become conscious and in choice with our money story is just as much as it is with our other stories about our lives. Like what's possible for us, how we, you know, like I can, I can't, whatever. We get to choose our money story. Like literally we get to create it. There is nothing different in terms of like worthiness or value or oftentimes intelligence between someone who is poor and someone who is wealthy. It's mostly due to the consciousness around it, the belief systems around it. I'm not speaking to people who are impoverished for reasons out of their control. And I want to be very, very specific about that. I am not talking about people who are oppressed. I am not talking about people in poverty because of like this is like things that are out of their control. What I'm speaking to is like, for those of us who are fortunate enough to be in a position to create our own wealth, right, or not, that's what I'm speaking to. And I want to be respectful in all of this. So, you know, there's no difference between me and Richard Branson, for all intents and purposes, except he knows what's up when it comes to money, and I'm learning, right? Probably there's a lot more of a difference, but what I'm trying to say is like, what I want to do here is help us to like level up the playing field and give ourselves the benefit of the doubt, give ourselves some cred and say like, let's plant some healthy belief systems. Like let's plant some seeds in there that will be aligned with the relationship with money that we want to have, whether that's being, you know, a 20,000-aire or whether that's being a 20 millionaire. Like we all have different dreams and desires. But let's work on that inner story, because if we have things inside of us. I had a client a few months ago, we were doing money story stuff. She uncovered that she hated money. Like through this money story uncovering, she was like, I fucking hate money. And she was like, oh, that's why I'm broke. And we were like, okay, now we know what we're working with, right? Like if, like how can you attract more of what you hate? Let's not do that. Let's rework what it represents. Let's rework the story that's involved there. Is this making sense before I move on to another share? Okay. Awesome. All right. So let me just see if there's anything I want to tie up. So I've been talking a lot about, like the gremlin side of money story, right? Like those beliefs that are sabotaging us. One of them, and then I'm going to talk in a moment here. I'm going to talk about like even the scales and talk about like the positive end of the spectrum here. But first I really want to highlight something that I invite all of you to keep on top of mind all the time is this these two stories, these two kind of lenses through which we can see the world. One is through scarcity and the other is through abundance. And it's kind of like the glass half full and half empty thing, but taken to the like nth level, in terms of our mindset and our beliefs. So if we're in scarcity, we're focused on not enough. And this is something that Lynn Twist, who's the author of The Soul of Money, and she has held like starving, dying babies in her arms and worked with the poorest people in the world. And she's also a consultant to billionaires. Like she's amazing. And I'm going to send out a couple of her videos this week. And she's the author of The Soul of Money, changed my life hugely. And she talks about this disease that we have as humans, especially in the Western world, around scarcity and around this story of not enough. Like we're in a culture, especially in America, where capitalism is like, not only capitalism, consumerism, it has been pounded into us, into our families, into our parents' parents for generations of like more, 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 consume more, buy more, right? And we're taught to believe that more means happier, more means better well-being, more means higher up, right? It's a bunch of bullshit. I'm just gonna like, I'm just going to say it right now. So scarcity keeps us in this mode of not enough. I don't have enough, right? And that scarcity and the not enough message from consumerism also, like there's this message of I'm not enough, right? If there's not enough and I don't have enough, then I'm not enough. And so we're existing in this place, a lot of us, most of us, are never feeling good enough. We're never feeling like we're enough. We're never feeling worthy or valid or like, okay, just as we are. We're always like, well, if I had this much more money, or when I have the job, or when I X, Y, or Z, then I'll feel like I'm enough, right? It's bologna sandwiches. We've been fed a bunch of bologna sandwiches. What's true is that we are all enough. We are all enough right now. We can always grow. We can always expand. We can always hopefully like expand into our passions and our purpose. But that expanding is into abundance. That expanding is into our potentiality. It's not coming from a place of like compensating for our not enoughness. So that's a really core messaging that I want to invite all of you to reprogram. Even if it's having I had a client a few months back, last February, who we did Byron Katie's work around this belief that she wasn't enough. And she stuck sticky notes around, like, I am enough. I am enough, like all over. And then some of the like, you know, examples of how and why that's true. And reprogramming that belief, that one belief, change was game changing. So I invite all of you to do the same. Check in with this story of I'm not enough and begin to really embrace that you are enough. And also that wherever you are financially is sufficient for right now. I'm not saying settle, right? What I am suggesting is to shift the focus from what you don't have, right? Because what we learned in visualization a couple weeks ago, if you focus on what you don't have, you're going to have more of what you don't have, more of what you don't want. So shift the focus to what you do have, right? This also ties into our gratitude practice, which is why gratitude is so amazing, because it helps us to focus on what we do have, which then helps us bring more of what we do want into our life. So scarcity versus abundance. Check in with yourselves. I all the time, I catch myself and I'm like, I'm in scarcity mode. Okay, how can I shift gears into abundance? What would that look like if I was like in abundance mode? It's amazing what's possible. Sometimes I'll be like, oh man, sometimes I'll be driving my car and I'll be like in scarcity mode about something, like, oh, what if whatever, you know, and I'll catch myself and I'm like, I love my car. I'm in this beautiful car, like listening to music right now. And where is my consciousness? It's focused on what I don't have. Like, fuck. Or I'll be like eating an awesome meal or just like having breakfast and like I'll catch myself in scarcity mode. And so it's slippery. It like, you know, it's one of those things that we have to retrain this monkey mind to focus on abundance, and focus on what we do have and focus on what we do want, right? Like focus on that. So is this making sense? / does anybody have any questions or oppositions or like, Vaughn, this is hippy dippy baloney. Jessica, awesome, thank you. There you are. Hi.
Figured the mute button out. Okay. So I am really enjoying this conversation, I have to say.
Yay, the girl in finance is enjoying the conversation.
So I appreciate what everybody is saying. Each of you are, you know, you're all saying things that trigger me to realize something about myself, so thanks. And one of the things, Vaughn, that I was thinking about as you were just talking is that, so I am actually trying to convince myself that I would be okay taking like a downsize for some period of time in order to get what I want ultimately. And so I don't want to be worried about like lack of money, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like I want to be comfortable with the fact that I'm going to downsize and that's going to be fine. It's manageable. Like not necessarily wishing to have more. I'm trying to like talk myself in the other direction for a while, I guess. And so I'm just trying to think about whether I'm really being realistic in my expectations or like, I don't know, like some of the things I'm having difficulty figuring out how to apply some of the recommendations to like the other scenario where like downsizing, like having less is okay too. Like don't fear living on like a well-managed, but like finely budgeted kind of lifestyle.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. No, this is great. This is great. So if you could take a moment, and distill your question into like one sentence or two sentences, that might help me to like really be able to dig in with you for a moment.
Yeah, sorry, I rambled a little bit.
No, it's necessary. We're thinking out loud here.
Yeah, so I intend to reduce my budget for a while and live pretty tightly. And I don't want to be scared of that situation by knowing that I won't be in abundance. And so as we're talking about thinking about having abundance, I also don't want to be afraid not to have that.
Thank you. Yes. Okay. Totally understandable. Yeah, totally understandable. Who can relate with what Jessica's saying? Capacity. Like, yeah, yeah. Sometimes the next chapter in our lives or the current chapter in our lives really does require a reassessment and a recalibration. And sometimes that recalibration is like, ooh, shoestringy, right? So perhaps this will be helpful. Perhaps not, but it was helpful for me when I wanted to get to this anyway, so this is a good segue. So the amount of dollars in our account does not equal like abundance or wealth, right? The amount of dollars equals the amount of dollars in the account. We get confused when we convince ourselves that the more money we have, the more abundance or the more wealth we have. Actually, oftentimes, the more dollars we have in our bank account, the more enslaved we are, unfortunately, or like the more frivolous we are. Or so it's irrelevant, like the not irrelevant, but it's pretty, it's not a one-to-one correlation. So what's more true though than that is that when we're living by our values and when our values are aligned with our financial situation, that's where wealth is. Like that's where prosperity is. When we have a sense of my value is minimalism, my value is frugality, my value is, I'm hypothetically here, but like whatever your values are, if you're in at that point in your life and you're matching your finances with your values, then that's alignment, right? We're looking for alignment. We're not necessarily always looking for like gangbusters, $1 million months, you know, it's different seasons of life require different things. And sometimes we do need to go into hibernation a little bit so that in the spring we can come out and blossom, right? There's different seasons to all of this. So, is this helpful? Is this?
Yeah, super helpful. I think, you know, going, we talk about values a lot, obviously, but, you know, thinking about what those value sets really mean financially and, you know, tying that in to be comfortable that this is the right spot to be in, like regardless of what the actual number is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So another thing, to keep in mind during those seasons of, you know, perhaps like storing our acorns or hibernating. I think I'm thinking of that right now because I'm looking outside. It's like the trees are blowing and it's getting cold. So in the season of hibernation or frugality that we may need to go into during a season of our life, it's also important to focus on the abundance that we do have because it's all perspective. Right? Like sometimes we'll go out to $100 meals, or sometimes we'll have like a $3 meal that we make at home. But the value that we place on that meal, that comes from within. Like those two meals, I could probably make the same thing that they make at a restaurant, some restaurants, and one's $100 and one's $3 or whatever. Like we place the value on that. So remember that you are always empowered to create the story around your financial situation. Lynn Twist talks about this a lot. It's awesome. She talks about like, and I studied this a lot under my thesis professor at Berkeley because he studies happiness, right? He's one of the foremost professors in the world around the correlation between happiness and these other factors in life. And so in studying happiness and money, some of the happiest people, some of the most fulfilled people, honestly, are what we would consider destitute. And they're happy. Like, they find joy in other ways. They find joy because they place the value of life. They place the value of joy in other areas and abundance. Like, they see abundance in their family, their friends, their, you know, fish that they pull out of the ocean or whatever. So I'm saying this to remind us all that we get to choose what gives our life value. And money is helpful. Money is awesome. Let's bring it in. Let's make it rain, right? Like, let's focus on that abundance. And we get to choose the meaning that we make in our lives from moment to moment. So, thoughts about that? Is that connecting, Jessica? Any questions about what I said? Anybody's welcome to raise their hand and ask questions or share what I just mentioned. Okay.
This is Paige.
Kim. Oh, yeah. Paige, go ahead. You're on the phone, and then we'll go to Kim, too. Yeah, no sorries. Go for it.
Sorry, I can't see anything. My internet is all over the place.
That's okay.
But, yeah, just thinking about, like, frugality, like, I don't know. I've lived a pretty frugal life for the most part just because I've always, you know, I've struggled with, I guess, allowing myself to have abundance. We'll just put it that way for now.
Yeah.
Yep. I think I've always struggled to allow myself to have that in my life, but I've always managed, I guess, to still, even being frugal, to find, like, fun in that, because like you said, like, usually when I do go to restaurants, I guess that's that frugal side of me still that's like, I know I could make that better at home, and, you know, I'm just thinking, like, of all the money I could save. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I do enjoy going out, but it is one of those things, like, I don't know, I guess for me, like, being frugal is kind of, like, a good value in my book, personally, just because I've always kind of lived that way, and to me, it's, like, I don't know, maybe a discipline, or I guess, in a way, living without abundance, I'd like to spend my money somewhere else. Could unpack that more, but, you know.
Yeah, no, that's great. Thank you for that share. Thank you so much. Something that I would invite you to explore around that is, are frugality and abundance mutually exclusive, right? Like, in terms of lifestyle, in terms of, we tend to think in black and white as humans of, like, oh, well, I can't be wealthy and also be frugal, or, like, I can't spend money on myself and live lavishly and be frugal. But these stories, it's really important to, like, check them and, like, look under the hood and, like, ask, are they mutually exclusive, or what else is possible? Like, So yes. And Paige, we will be digging into this a lot on our journey, as a lot of the other ladies will attest.
One other thing. Really quick that one thing that I learned that I thought was really interesting is that most, like, studies that they've done on most millionaires, turns out that most of them are extremely frugal people. They're very utilitarian. They tend not to waste a lot, and they try to reuse things and, you know, try to save their money, basically. Like, they don't get rich because they won the lottery or something, some miracle happened to them. They're rich because they worked hard and they just saved their money, and they were, you know, they lived well while being conscious, I guess, of how they were saving. Which I was always interesting. And they became millionaires that way. And that's how they say most people become millionaires. I don't know. I just thought that was a really interesting thought. Because being frugal led them to having abundance later in life.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's thank you for sharing that too. And that is true for a lot of people's stories. And something I want to highlight here, ladies, is that the times are a changing also. And a lot of the beliefs and a lot of the things that we were taught, and a lot of the things that helped millionaires and billionaires get where they are today, so much more is possible for us because of the modern age, right? I'm just going to say, like, the technological age and the information age. So there's so much more possible in terms of, like, access points to abundance and wealth and sufficiency and all those things. So one of the things that we will be doing in the study of Money Story here in the next few weeks is learning more about the habits of the wealthy, right? Or learning more about the habits of people who are where we want to be. And that's different for everybody. But the more we learn from other people, it's the fastest way to learn, first of all. And so studying those principles, studying people who are aligned with our values, who are abundant and who are financially, you know, where we want to be, that's something that we all uniquely get to do. And that's something that I'm embarking on right now. I've sourced a few really awesome people, and I'll talk about this probably in a month, but sourced a few amazing things in my life right now to help me to elevate and to like really get to the resonance that I want to financially. But we get to source it. We get to like do the research. We get to look under the hood and study the habits. And Paige, that was a great segue to an invitation that I have for all of you around studying the habits of the people who have made it, right? Or the people who are where you would like to be. Because I think the one-to-one thing that we were programmed with, because our parents didn't have the internet and their parents didn't have the internet, is that the only way to make money is to like work hard. Like work hard, save up, be frugal, penny pinch, get wealthy, right? Okay, well, that can work, but also investing, really, 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 really proven to be the most wealth building thing you can do. And then passive income, right? Like passive income online there's like a million ways to generate passive income, real estate, online stores, blah, blah, blah. There's so many things. So we have so much more opportunity is what I'm trying to speak to right now, to source abundance and to be, you know, we can be frugal, we can be abundant, we can be anything we want to be. It's about like creating that story intentionally. So, okay, let's close out. Does anybody have any questions about what I just talked about? Okay. I can't see all of you on the same screen. Okay, so let's wrap out on a high note. So we've just talked a lot about money story and the gremlin valence. And the next call, we're going to be talking about like rewriting our money story and how to do that, and some of the mindset shifts that are going to be really helpful in doing that, and new belief systems, new visualizations. So all of you dive into that worksheet that I had sent out in the next couple of weeks. Our next call will be 2 weeks from now, and I'll be in Mexico. Yes. So, but we'll kind of like, we'll do a little teaser here to wrap out this call. So, okay, here's something. I'm going to plant a little seed here, and then we're going to wrap out with a question/share. So something that I realized when my coach helped me realize that the more I have, the more I can help others, right? The more I have, the more I can give. That was a total mind blow. It changed so much, because my whole purpose on this planet is to help others, like for the most part, that and travel. So when I realized that, oh my gosh, the more I have, the more wealth I build, the more I can help other people, it really, really landed. So I invite all of you to think about, and this will be one of the questions here to wrap out, but to really embrace and realize that the more you have and the more that you generate, the more you can impact the world, the more you can help others. You're not limited to financial impact by any means. Like, we can walk out the door and impact 100 people every day just by being who we are and being positive and friendly. But it's, you know, resources are resources, and the more resources we have to cycle through and cycle out to help the world, the more impact we're going to be able to have, and the more, yeah. So that's important to keep in mind for any of you who are like, I don't deserve it, because deservedness is one of those fucking gremlins that get in there, and it's like, well, I don't deserve to be wealthy, or who am I to, like, ladies, I used to never shop for clothes because I didn't think I was like worth it. Like, you talk to my friends and they'd be like, yeah, Fawn's, she used to wear the same shit like every year. So I used to have this story that like spending money on myself was not okay. And then thank goodness for my life coach. And she was like, girl, we're shopping. So, but remember that the like investing in yourself and like, and spending on yourself in alignment with your values and accruing more and like manifesting more wealth will help you to not only become your best self, but also be like help others. So there's this personal development leader, Brendan Burchard, and a colleague of his, Dean Graziosi, who's a real estate positive real estate tycoon. And I took this money course from them earlier this year. And one of the things that they said that stuck with me, because I was at first I was like, what? But they said that becoming wealthy is your duty. Like, becoming abundant is your duty to humanity, because by you becoming the best you can be, you will empower others to become the best that they can be. You know, like, you can pay for your niece's education, you can pay for your niece's art school, you can be a leading example for the kiddos in your life or the other people in your life that think they can't make it. You can be like, the amount of impact that we can make by thriving is absolutely incredible. So I was kind of resistant to when they said that. I was like, yeah, but it's not all about money. But I was like, wait, it is my duty. It totally is, you know, in alignment with my values and what's true for me. So keep in mind that this is when we kind of zoom out and we see how like everything's interconnected. Sometimes it can alleviate that, like, that resistance to, well, I don't deserve it, right? Or who am I? It's like, who are you to thrive? Like, oh, heaven forbid, like, you paint an amazing painting and sell it for $1,000 and like it's on someone's wall and it brings them joy every day. Who are you not? You know, who are you to not do that? So, okay. So let's wrap out with a couple of questions. And this will serve as a, I want to ask this question and I want to do a takeaway. So we'll do the question first, and whoever is down to hang for a little bit longer to do a takeaway, awesome. But you're not mandated. Anyone that has to hop off, that's totally fine. So what is something awesome that money will add to your life? So that's our question. So let's popcorn style it. Take a minute. What is something awesome that money will add to your life? And the follow-up to that is, how will you being wealthy benefit others? So you can choose one or the other of that. And I'll start the round. So, something awesome that money will bring into my life and benefit others is being able to contribute to the school in the tiny village that I'm going to in Mexico. They are severely underfunded. They do not have enough teachers. The teachers they do have, I think there's like two teachers or three teachers. They don't get paid well at all. So me being more abundant, me being more wealthy, more wise, more online, like having my vibration up there with Richard Branson will help me like educate these kiddos that really don't have any other access to education. And that's super important to me. So that's something awesome that money will do in my life. Oh, it will also allow me to fly my mom down for Thanksgiving, and she has never been anywhere in the world. So, okay. Ren, would you be willing to share something awesome?
I could probably think of like 20.
Right? I know. It's a fun one, right?
Like all the things that I'd like to do to the new house that is going to take a lot of money. But also just in general, being better with money consistently, will bring me security and also open up my budget for more art projects without having to figure out how I'm going to pay for them first.
Yep. Yep. Thank you for sharing that. Yes. Yeah, exactly. Being able to do what you want to do when you want to do it. Awesome. Jessica, would you be willing to share something that money will add to your life and or how it will benefit others?
Sure. So more abundance would allow some peace of mind and freedom to take different paths that that are more aligned with what I would like to do for the world, but without the fear of whether or not they bring in the right level of income.
Ooh, awesome. Yeah, that's a great one. Thanks for that. Layla, would you be willing to share?
I think for me is honestly, like, I've relied a little more on my significant other on our finances. So it would be nice to, right now I just got new income and a new job and I'm transitioning into being fully financially independent without asking or without his support. So I feel like I would be definitely benefiting myself and gaining my independence back. It's been a long, you know, I lost a job. I got fired from a position for a while ago, and then it really got to my my mental state, and my I let it bring me down. And more than I should have, I should have worked harder to find income again, but I've been kind of down about it for quite some time. But here I am now, and I feel like it'll help me gain my financial independence back. I think it'll kind of give us some breathing room. And I think it would be nice to just do little nice things for my family, like sending my mom a book that I know that she would really love, or getting a gift from my niece, or sending her some gifts. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. Mm-hmm. That actually speaks to something that I didn't mention yet, and I'll keep this quick before I move on to Kim and Paige. So this might sound nuts, but it's true. I learned this from Mary Morrissey, who I've mentioned before, in her workshop, and she challenged us, or the program that I was in of hers many, many years ago. She was talking about she was sharing her story and how back in the day she was like down to nothing, and she was, it's a fascinating story. Anyway, she remembered that someone had told her, basically her mentor was like, it's like money is a cyclical thing. It's a currency. And the word current, like water, right? Like water flows. Water's not meant to necessarily like be stagnant. It's meant to flow through. And so she had, I can't remember what it was, $2 or something, or 25 cents or something in her pocket. And she was like passing by this guy in the street, and she remembered that it's cycle it through. The more that we give, the more we receive. And we're taught to cling. We're taught that like not enough scarcity mode. So we're taught to cling, especially when our like accounts are dwindling. But something crazy happens. I don't understand. I don't get it. But she invited all of us to like try it out. And I've done it ever since, where it's like in a pinch, give. And it's so counterintuitive, but in a pinch, give. And so something you just said reminded me of that, Layla. So ladies, like as a practice, not tithing necessarily with church, but like every, you know, a certain percentage of what you do have, as much as we want to cling to it, what would it be like to give gifts, right? Like send someone a book, or drop a couple coins in somebody's cup, or donate to the Indonesian earthquake relief or something like that. And the more we do things like that, the more it's telling whatever is out there, the universe, our brains, like that there's enough, there is enough, and we have enough, and we have enough so much that we can actually give of what we have. So, all right. Thanks for that, Layla. Kim, would you be willing to share what is something awesome that money will add to your life, or that wealth, will, how it will benefit others?
Yes. Real quick, adding on to what you just said about giving and it not being church related, and something Ren said earlier about her thing of money, mine has always been centered around church. I'm sorry, I'm losing my voice as we go. But so I recently started looking into something we have here, which is called the Youngstown Foundation, and we can give to local charities.
Awesome.
And there's like a list of them. And so I recently, instead of giving in church, I started giving to that because, and it was crazy because I said, okay, I'm going to be led to do that. And in my class, two young ladies talked about suicide. And so I looked online for the suicide hotline thing, because I wanted to donate to that, and found out that it's part of the foundation.
Wow.
That if you donate more than a certain amount, it goes to them, and they add 5% on to the donation.
Wow.
So that is what abundance would do for me, to be able to give more to community groups. Also, my son is graduating and going to college, so I definitely want to be part of that.
Congratulations.
Yeah. And also, would help me before he leaves. I want to take a family trip to see my brother in California because he comes here. And my kids and I haven't been there since my daughter was 5 and she'll be 16 this month. So I would like to go there. So
yeah, visiting family. Awesome. Yeah.
And get the businesses off the ground. Yes.
Yeah. Hell yes. Awesome. Yeah. Thank you. That really just touched me. What you were saying about the foundations that your contributions are supporting. That's amazing, Kim. Thank you for that. It's so important. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. Paige, I think you're the 513. Yeah. Would you be willing to share, something that money will add to your life and or help benefit you or others?
Sure. I think money means health in the sense that, you know, I get to eat better. I get to sleep better. I have a roof over my head. And also, you know, I get to have good health care because unfortunately in this country, health care is ridiculously expensive. Mm-hmm. So unfortunately, having an abundance also means having good access to health care. But, you know, on a non-personal level, I guess I would just like to be able to take care of my cats more, you know, better, my boyfriend, my family. Like, you know, I've always had this dream of taking my extended family, my cousins, and everybody just on a cruise ship one day. I don't know why. It seemed like something awesome. My grandma could do, my cousins could do. I don't know. That would be really cool if one day I could just orchestrate a big family cruise or something. I don't know. Yeah. I just like to be able to do more stuff like that, family. And then just one thing that you made me think of when you were talking about just living in that space of abundance and like giving. Mm-hmm. It just made me think back to like when I was a little kid, you know, and I just like whenever I had money, like I couldn't wait to go like buy somebody something. And like now when I think about it, I'm like, you know, what happened to that little girl? Like, you know, now I'm always thinking about what am I gonna buy next? Like, what do I need? And you know, and I do try to remind myself to like take a step back every once in a while and be like, you know, what could I do for somebody else that's nice, you know? And I don't think I think about it enough, but like, you know, when I think back, it's like I think we all were like that as kids to some extent. It's like we all wanted to do so much for everybody else, and then at some point, whether because of life or society or what we're taught or what we've seen, we just like forget about it, or we just stop doing it because we start to think that giving means that we're going to be hurting ourselves or hurting somehow.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I just, you know, I don't know where that belief came from, but it's just something that, like, you know, I want to try to remember to get back to more often and just to give to people and not be so selfish.
Awesome. Oh, that's so sweet. That's so sweet. Yeah. Oh, that's really sweet. And what I would invite you to do is to take some time. Like, this is a perfect example of like a limiting belief or money story, you know, like gremlin that's in there is that giving means I'm like that I don't have enough, or giving something to someone else means that I'm hurting my own, like whatever those beliefs might be. Dig into that and try to see if you can figure out where it came from so that you can be more conscious of it and then change it. Right. And it's awareness is the lens through which we're able to change our reality. So I really love what you were just speaking to. Yeah. And so there's like something really sweet and tender about that. Like as a little girl, like here. Okay, ladies, I realize that we are over time. Thank you for hanging over time with me. I am so down to stick around for a takeaway round. No obligation at all. If you need to hop off, go ahead and raise your hand and unmute yourself and say ta-ta. But if you are willing to hang on and do a little takeaway, that would be awesome too. So raise your hand, anybody who needs to hop off. And I just want to acknowledge that. Oh, you ladies are the bomb. Oh my gosh, you all want to stay and do takeaways? Thank you. I'm totally virtual hugging you right now. All right. So yeah, let's do takeaway rounds. Keep it to a minute, minute and a half, something like that. And Something that resonated with you tonight, it could be something I said or something somebody else said, and we'll just keep it at a single takeaway since we're super over time. Okay. Ren, would you be willing to share a takeaway?
I was trying to think of what it was. It was something Layla said, and then my mind kind of wandered off and I forgot what it was.
That's okay. Do you want me to come back to you?
Sure. We'll try that.
Okay. Awesome. Jessica, would you want to do a takeaway?
Sure. Mine was also something Layla said, so maybe the same, Ren. but she said a lot of good stuff. So mm-hmm. When Layla was talking about how her experience with money in like fighting and parents and kind of relationship friction, I realized that one of the reasons why it's important to me to have kind of more abundance, I guess, and why I'm scared of downsizing is that I also saw my parents fight about money all the time, and I don't want that in my relationship, and I just, you know, I don't want that to get in the way. So I think I need to think more on that and kind of get more comfortable with that. So thanks for highlighting that for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for that takeaway. Oh my goodness, yeah. Who can relate with, like, my parents are home right now, so I'm like, who can relate with their parents fighting over money? Awesome. Yep. Layla, yeah. Would you be willing to do a takeaway?
First, I think everybody had really, really nice, honest things to share. I'm sorry. I believe it was Paige that shared, and I'm sorry if I'm wrong, but that shared the personal things about your grandfather that had to be very difficult to share. So thank you for sharing that. I think to go back to relationships and fighting, I think that because I've seen it so many times and have some experience with it too personally, I think that my fears related to fighting about money in relationships, because in relationships you have so much to lose. And if you don't take care of, I feel as though if you don't take care of your money and you're not responsible, and it's a huge responsibility to me, that your relationships could fall apart. And because of that fear, I feel like sometimes I'm trying to push out of this and move forward. But for a very long time, I felt that I think I was just, because of that fear, like I let that get to my head and looking at money positively and actually doing more for myself to build my finances.
Yeah. Ooh, wow. Thank you so much, Layla. That was, yeah. No wonder everyone's like, yeah, something Layla said. Just kidding. Thank you so much. If we see it modeled in our parents or people around us that like money is the source of fighting, the source of divorce, the source of, you know, argument, like, yeah, we're going to demonize it. Yeah. So thank you for highlighting that. Let's all look under the hood of that and like ask ourselves like what impact that may have had on us, right, in our lives. And yeah, thank you. Okay. Kim, would you be willing to share a takeaway?
Yes, it was about what you said about it being our duty to become wealthy. I think with church, I kind of, and I'm not blaming it on church, but I'm just saying the way I grew up is that you just give and you give and you give and you don't get, you just keep giving from somewhere, you know, and kind of grew up not asking anybody for anything, but just to continually give. And so when you said it's our duty to become wealthy, it kind of was like, okay, that if I plan on going this road with being a giving person, I also have to get it from somewhere else also. So that for me is a very weird place to be. Yeah. So getting, I'm not really used to in a lot of different areas, but also that one. So
receiving.
That's just my own hard work. But, you know, and I know we talked about that. So, yeah, that yeah. to become wealthy, that, you know, to make enough, you know, to get by is what I was taught. But, you know, not to get more so that I can give it away. And I found myself just giving, giving, giving until I don't have anything left. And yeah, so that would be it.
Yes. Yes. Thank you so much for sharing that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Receiving. That's a part of the whole flow, right? The cycling through is that receiving. And that is a tricky one for us as women. Cause like we have all this programming and conditioning around like we're givers. We're not receivers. Yeah, well, a lot of us, I don't want to speak universally, of course, but yeah. So a great affirmation might be something around, I receive the abundance of the universe with open arms and I deserve it. Like, whoa, right? Like that even makes me feel stretchy kind of like, you know, but what if that was the message that we're allowing into our consciousness? Like, oh, you know, like, yes, please. And more, and we can flow that through, right? It's like, we keep getting, yeah. So thank you, Kim. That excited me. Paige, would you be willing to share a takeaway?
Sure. I guess it's just interesting, you know, overwhelming pattern of how money relates back to our families and not only being able to provide for ourselves, but our fear of not being able to provide for others, which I think is more eye-opening about each one of us, you know, for sharing what we've shared, but also just realizing that I think maybe we do have limiting beliefs, maybe we can be selfish, but I think from what I gather from everybody, that it seems like everybody is really concerned about not only creating the best lives for themselves, but for everybody else. And I think if you have that mindset going forward and from now on, like, I don't see how gaining wealth could ever be a bad thing for you as long as you continue to manage it with that, you know, that mentality. I don't know. I just thought it was really interesting. Everybody wants to take care of their families and do things for their communities. And what's greater than that, you know, when you have wealth?
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Thanks, Paige. Yeah, that was a really... It is. It's beautiful because we tend to be exposed to the people like wealth equals like greed or like selfishness. But actually, there's a majority of us here on this planet that are do-gooders. Like we're here to help. We're here to empower each other. We're here to like make this place, this planet, a better place for ourselves and our hopefully the generations to come after us. And yeah, shifting that focus is. It changes the story quite a bit, right? And somebody that I invite you guys to look at with that is like, I mean, Richard Branson and Mary Morrissey, and just start doing some research. Like, who is wealthy and that is giving most of their wealth away? Oh my gosh, the 5-Hour Energy guy, he was the wealthiest person in the world. He gave away 90% of his, he's amazing. There's a documentary about him. Check that out. Like, so the more you have, the more you can give. Yay. All right, ladies, thank you for takeaway round. My takeaway is how grateful I am to be able to have these conversations with you and to talk about this very, very, very important topic in a safe space and to be able to relate and hear, you know, the vulnerability that comes out around what our stories have been. So thank you for that. And next call will be rewriting our money story. So we're going to, for the next few weeks, your homework is to continue unpacking this, continue like pulling the gremlins out, and, you know, reflect on what was said here in this call and the insights and ahas, and then also come up with a mantra for yourselves, or an affirmation or two around something really positive, something that's in alignment with your values, something that's in alignment with your what you want your relationship to with money to be like, and focus on that affirmation, use the visualization techniques. And then next time we're going to build on that. We're going to talk about positive money story even more and like redoing the whole deal so that we can reconstruct that and make it work for us. So Okay, any questions before we hop off here? Looking good. Okay. Thank you all so much for being here. I am so grateful, so honored, and especially like the consistency you all come to like almost every single call. And I appreciate that so much. It's important in terms of like the tribe essence. So thanks, ladies, and congratulations on everybody's everything lately. Like, you guys are kicking so much ass, and welcome, Paige. Thanks for being with us. Awesome. All right, ladies. Yay. Yeah. Everybody have a wonderful rest of your evening or night or wherever you are. Awesome. Bye, ladies. Love y'all.
See you guys. Bye.